As we journey through these Psalms, it becomes pretty clear that if you're a believer who's really trying to do something for God, and if you're one who's really going someplace for God, then there's going to be times when you have enemies, and there'll be people who are going to try to destroy you. And we see this in Psalm 57. And this kind of thing can hit you at work, it can hit you at school, it can hit you in your family, it can hit you in a relationship, it can hit you in a neighborhood, or even at church. And at times you're going to discover there's nothing you can do to prevent this. People have often tried to destroy God's faithful people. There's nothing new to our day. It happened to Daniel, it happened to Paul, it happened to John, and it happened to David. Of course, the ultimate person who people try to destroy was Christ. Those who purpose to live godly and be godly are going to suffer, and those who live godly suffer by being attacked by those godless, and that's precisely what Psalm 57 is all about. And we see in the superscription of the psalm that we see a great deal here. It's written for the choir director, which means it was publicly communicated. It's set to Al-Tasheth, which literally means in Hebrew, do not destroy. It's a miktam psalm, which draws attention to what's inscribed or written. And that emphasizes that this is the written word of God. And it's a miktam psalm written by David, and it's a psalm written in a specific historical context when David fled from Saul and was hiding in a cave. Now, the cave is either the cave of Adullam, which was the cave to which David fled after leaving Gath, having pretended to be insane, or it is also possible that this is the cave in the wilderness of En-Gedi, when Saul chased him with 3,000 men. There are 13 psalms in which we get an actual historical note, giving us insight into the historical context. And this is one of those psalms. The caves were located in rugged country of the Dead Sea area. So David is in a cave. He is the king. He's living in a cave. Every felt like this is your own life. You're being faithful to God. And others seem to be getting the good life. And you're faithful to God. But others get the jobs, the raises, the promotions. They seem to be excelling and prospering while you live in your own little cave just trying to survive life. David can relate to that. When we think we're on the verge of being destroyed and we're being faithful to God, we'll be able to sing in our soul if we continue to pray to God, praise God, and exalt God. As we've been going through these psalms, we cannot help but see that time and time again, David prayed and cried out to God when he was under fire. It appears from this repeated theme that God is trying to give us some very important instruction. And we may assume that when most people are under fire, they cry out to everyone but God. But God is the one who's really in position to do something about it. And what David did was continually go to God. And that's a key lesson you can learn from this book. David prays to God. We see this in the first six verses. It's an interesting prayer. He prays for God's grace. Look at verses 1 through 3. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Till the storms of destruction pass by, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness." That reputation of "be gracious to me" emphasizes that David sensed an intense need for God's grace. And it's an intense need for God's grace in this moment in his life, which were these moments of total helplessness and hopelessness. The Hebrew word for gracious is one that literally means to incline your favor towards someone because you pity them. And David had no one else to whom he could turn for help. He was looking to God and he was praying for God's grace. The reason he needs God's grace is in verse 1. God was David's only refuge. Many were trying to destroy him. David knew that his refuge was not in a cave or his abilities or his military strategy. He knew his only refuge was in the shelter of the wings of God's grace, and God was the only one who could protect and preserve David. One of the things that moments of helplessness and hopelessness should do is cause us to cry out to God for his grace. And God wants us in situations where we totally and completely depend on him and his grace. The truth is, we are all sinners, and when it comes to saving ourselves from sin, we're helpless and hopeless, and our only chance for salvation is to cry out to God for his grace. If we refuse to do this, we're heading to eternal destruction. But even after we're saved, when we find ourselves in some lonely cave experience, there's one to whom we can turn, and that one is God. And in verses 2 and 3, we get some insight into what David expected to see in view of the fact that he cried out to God. David expected that the Most High God would accomplish things for him personally. The word accomplish in Hebrew is one that means to complete or finish something. David prayed, believing that the Most High God would complete or finish his program with him and deliver him from this trouble. And David is aiming this at the Most High God. So David believes that the only true God, the Most High God, is not only interested in him, but that he will come to the aid of David personally. It's a tremendous privilege to pray to the Most High God. David expected the Most High God would save him from heaven. David believed God would authorize a heavenly salvation and actually send his deliverance from heaven. And keep in mind that David is praying in a cave, not in a church, not in a cathedral, not in a coliseum. He's praying in a cave, and he expected this prayer from a cave would move heaven. So he expected that the Most High God would reproach those who trample him. The word reproach means God despises something. He scorns it and holds it in contempt. And David expected that his prayer would prompt God to hold in contempt those who walked all over him. Then he adds the word Selah, which means stop and think about it. David wanted all people to stop and think about the fact that the Most High God takes an interest in his faithful people when they are being mistreated, and he will deliver his faithful people and trample those causing the trouble. David had to literally hide in a cave because of these people, but David could pray and the Most High God would be on his side. And then he starts to describe his enemies. Look at verses 4 and verse 6. He says, "My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp words." Verse 6, "They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves." Selah. So he describes his enemies as metaphorically being lions. Only these lions were really men. They were dangerous killers who only prey on David. And David describes those who were after him. It's clear that they made them so dangerous was their speech. David's enemies breathe forth fire. David's enemies have teeth that will cut. And David's enemies have a tongue that would kill. And then his enemies have traps that have been set. David was hunkered down in a cave, and outside that cave were a bunch of killers who were verbally attacking him and looking to destroy him. This is so important to see. Our enemies try to destroy us by camouflaging themselves and by verbally ripping us to shreds. They're like hunters looking for prey. They do a lot of talking to others with the goal to destroy the faithful servant of God. But it is precisely in these moments when we can know we are protected by the Most High God. And then he praises God. Look at verse 5. Go back to verse 5. "Be exalted to God, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And then jump to verse 7. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." So apparently one of the keys to victorious life is to continue to praise God and worship God in the midst of the threat, in the midst of the hate and the alienation. David specifically exalted God. David was still interested in God being exalted and glorified on the earth. And notice that David does not blame God or demean God. He exalts God. And he had a heart that was steadfast. David put no confidence in himself. He put it in God. He never wavered in his trust in God. He believed God would deliver him, and his heart was steadfast in that belief. And he had a personal worship of God. He played music for God. He gave thanks to God. He sang praises to God. And he continued to exalt God. He did this while he's in a cave. Now, you hear that musical singing in the rain. Can't get more depressing than living in a dark, damp dungeon of a cave because people want to kill you. Yet David is singing the praises of God. When we find ourselves surrounded by trouble, we need to pray and continue to worship and exalt God. You see, God is very concerned about the faithful individual who's wrongfully suffered. God will listen to that private prayer of that faithful person who's under attack. And no matter what we face, we must continue to exalt God and worship God. And when you are pressured and boxed in, we may always go to the Lord.